Now, please turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. If you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, page 1274, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 17. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, page 1274. And please note the 15th verse, the text verse, as we read it. And let's stand for the reading of this passage of Scripture, please. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we find it truly a delight to be here. It's wonderful to know the fellowship of Christian brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to hear the singing, the special music to join in the hymns and the songs. It's wonderful to read thy word. And it's especially wonderful to hear it preached and taught. We pray for thy help. Father, this is the kind of business that, of course, the devil would love to defeat. So we pray that you'd help us to have victory over any force of evil within us or within the service, that we might, of course, find what you'd have us here for. God bless the service, the preaching. Give us close attention to all that's said. And anoint our preacher with thy Spirit's power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our morning messages this summer are on the very familiar texts of the Bible. We have spoken on, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we have spoken on, "The just shall live by faith," and other very familiar texts in the Bible. And this morning, that amazing passage, the Apostle Paul realized his own sinfulness and the greatness and the grace of God. And he said, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Amazing passage. And I could not help but think, as Mrs. Eidson sang that beautiful song, "Tell me the story of Jesus." That's what you ought to be saying before I stand to speak every Sunday morning. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart, every word. And then I ought to stand and tell you the story of Jesus. And this morning, that wonderful story of love that is given to us. The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, Holy Spirit, thou who dost indwell me, would you empower me now for these moments? And I pray that we shall listen, that those of us who have received forgiveness and pardon and salvation shall rejoice and relish in this great salvation we have. And those who have not taken time to on their way to heaven, way to eternity, to prepare for heaven, I pray this morning, they should realize this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. God, help us, each of us, to apply it to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. A stitch in time saves nine. A penny saved is a penny earned. All of these scriptures I'm quoting, just one after the other. If at first you don't succeed, Try again. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. You know, These are well-known sayings and quotes of our society. The Jews also had their well-known sayings and quotes. The New Testament church people had, like we'd say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. They'd say, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. I like that. It was just a faithful saying. Now, they had theirs, and they were called faithful sayings. May I tell you what that means? This is a faithful saying. It means this is something you can put your weight down on, all your weight down on it. The word faithful there is the word you Greek students know, the word pistuo in the Bible, or sometimes pistos. It means to roll your whole weight upon. Put your whole weight upon that. And so, this is a faithful saying, or this is something you can put your whole weight down on. And you can't put your whole weight down on the friendship of those who are your friends because they're going to disappoint you sometime. You can't put your whole weight down on the church because sometime the church is going to disappoint you. You can't put your whole weight down on any human being, even the pastor of the church or the leaders of the church, because someday they're going to disappoint you. But here's something you can put your whole weight down on. This is a faithful saying. Paul said, hey, folks, you can put your whole weight down on this. It'll never disappoint you. And then he said, it's worthy of all acceptation. I like that word worthy. It's the word that means weighty. It's the word they use for the foundation of a house or the anchor used by a mariner. This is a foundation. This is weighty enough to build your life on and build your eternity on. It's worthy. It's the same word that is used in the Greek. When in Revelation it says, we shall in heaven say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And so it says, this is a faithful saying, something you put your weight down on, something you can throw your anchor, you sailors, you can put your anchor. This is an anchor. It's strong enough, and it's heavy enough, and it's weighty enough. You can make this the anchor of your souls. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I am safe evermore. So you can put your anchor down, or you can build your foundation for your life, for eternity, on these things. Then it said, worthy of all acceptation. This is the same word where it says that in Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word, the same word, gladly received, and all acceptation. It means that you gladly, all can gladly receive this saying that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That means the poorest of the poor. That means the richest of the rich. That means the smallest of the small. That means the biggest of the big. That means the dumbest of the dumb. It means the smartest of the smart. And so forth. It means all acceptation. If you're the president of the bank or the guy that sweeps out the place, both of you can accept this and have a foundation and an anchor for your life. Now, they had many little slogans like this, and they would give these little slogans, and there are four mentioned in the Bible. There are four times this statement is mentioned. This is a faithful saying. One time it says, it is a faithful saying, but three times it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, and one time it says, it is a faithful saying. Now, what are these things you can put your weight on? You can't put your weight on human philosophy. I'm sorry, Mr. Reagan, we can't even put your weight on the Republican budget. It's not going to save America. And you can't put your weight... Oh, Mr. Sibley, my savings are insured up to $100,000 with the federal government. Well, who's insuring the federal government? What I'd like to know. Who's going to pay off the federal government when it goes broke? You can't put your weight on your Social Security. You put your whole life, put money in Social Security, and you give it to, give your whole life, and then you get old yourself, and the government goes broke. No, don't put your weight down on the government. The Bible says some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. So what are these faithful sayings worthy of all acceptation? One is found in Titus 3:8. It says this, this faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, here it is. These that believe should be careful to maintain good works. Now, that means the New Testament church would say that. They'd come around and say, like we say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. They would say, these that believe should be careful to maintain good works. They'd say it as a slogan, if you please, or a motto. They'd meet somebody on the street and say, hey, how are you? They that believe
in God should be careful to maintain good works. That was a slogan they had. Another was in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Wouldn't that be a good thing to say when you meet somebody on the street? Hey, how are you today? If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. You know, little slogans like that change your whole attitude in life. That's why they have, what Pepsi Cola used to have? What that Pepsi Cola slogan song used to have? Oh, Pepsi, no. What? Yeah, Pepsi Cola, it's the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Oh, that's an old, isn't it? And twice as much for a half a dollar, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you. That's why Winston says, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. They're trying to get that filth in your subconscious, you see. They're trying to get you where you'll go around humming all the time. And that's what the New Testament church did. They got some sayings like, they that believe in God should maintain good works, and such as if we be dead with him, we also shall live with him. And they're a faithful saying. They're motto, slogans used in the New Testament church. Folks oftentimes say to the house, why do you have us sing so much of the same thing over and over again? I'm trying to get it in the subconscious mind. I'm trying to get it where all week long you're thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. Another motto, 1 Timothy 4:8-9, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is to all these having promise of that life which now is and of that which is to come. And the main one that they used as a motto was Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Hope you don't forget about it. Hope all week long you're saying it. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Hope when your wife says, good morning, I love you, you'll say, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Hope when you bow your head to say the grace, you'll say, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. It was a motto. A stitch in nine, a time saves nine. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. A penny saves, a penny earned. First you don't succeed, try again. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. It was a motto. In Vacation Bible School, we've been doing that very thing. That's why we say, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. Say it, boys and girls. I hate the devil. Louder. I hate the devil. Louder. I hate the devil. Oh, how many times have we said that this week in Vacation Bible School? And I hate the devil. I will not smoke. Say it, boys and girls. I will not. Louder. I will not smoke. I will not smoke. And we've been doing it all week long. Why? We're trying to get some little mottos and little cliches and some little slogans down in the subconscious. Girls wear dresses and boys wear pants. Girls wear dresses and boys wear... This is a dirty way to preach to you backhanded. I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you what I preach to them. Maybe you'd like to know. Girls wear dresses and boys wear pants. And one bus 74, Bible school, all the girls, little bus kids, many of them didn't own any dresses, and they all got together and all decided for Brother Hiles one day that all wear dresses. I like for all of you to do. Anyway, but I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. And the New Testament church would say, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Yesterday morning, I hadn't been gotten to bed before about 1:45 for 12 consecutive nights. And I hadn't had much sleep. And Friday afternoon, oh, my soul, I just barely could stay awake. And Friday night, so I decided to sleep about an hour and a half later on Saturday morning. And I got to the church. Must have been about, 8:20 or so. And everybody's worried about me. The guards are worried about me. And they said, preacher, you're always here at the same time. But I got here. And a young lady's waiting to see me. Been waiting since 6 o'clock. I didn't have any open time till 10 o'clock, and I won't tell the story and not at all divulge it, but she was a young lady, married, who several years ago attended Hiles Anderson College. And she decided to quit after 1 year, and she got married. We advised her not to. Your wife, especially Dr. Evans, pleaded with her, finish your college. Finish your college. Stay in Bible college. But she didn't do it. And as is always the case, when you don't listen to the pleadings of God's leaders,
her life is messed up. You wouldn't believe it. I won't go into it. But you never heard such a story of sin and heartbreak and entanglement. And I don't know how it can be untangled. And she sat there, tears streaming down her cheeks, and she told me the story. And as she got up to leave, I counseled with her. As she got up to leave, I said, wait a minute. I said, would you like to preach for me tomorrow morning? And would you like to tell the young people, listen to what the preacher says? And she broke down, got beside her, said she broke down. And she said, I sure would. I sure would. And then she looked at me, and she said, preacher, that 1 year in Howells Anderson College was the happiest year of my life. I'd like to say she has money now, rather wealthy, but the devil's taken his toll. And after she left, I paced the floor in my office, and I hollered, I hate the devil. 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 Wonder where I got that. All week long in Bible school, we'd been saying it. And the first thing I thought was, I hate the devil. Did you know there ought to be, the Word of God ought to be so much of you that in your subconscious it's like a motto with you. And the things of God ought to be in the subconscious until you just... And that's what the New Testament Church, they said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. But by the way, that isn't all. They use these for songs. These were the courses. We sang, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We sang, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. We sang, Jesus loves me. We sang, I'm this I know. We sang, oh, how I love Jesus. And the other day I was in a cafeteria down in Texas, and I wanted to have some good old food, real food. I mean soul food. And come on. And so I went to a Texas restaurant. I got me some squash, and then I got me some black-eyed peas and some turnip greens. And let's see, what else was? Oh, some fried okra. Glory to God. You say, what is all that food? It's the food that God fed the Israelites with for 40 years in the wilderness. You say, it says manna. Check the Hebrew, buddy. You'll find what it says is okra. And so I looked at all that food, and I was going through the line, and I was humming. Go down the course. And the little lady must have been 70 years of age, stooped shoulders and wrinkled brow. I wonder if that's the only living she had. She was serving the vegetables. And I was humming, da, 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 da. And she looked up through tear-stained eyes and said, so do I. So do I. I was humming, oh, how I love Jesus. That's all she said. So do I. And I said, do you know him too? And she said, yes, I know him too. That's all we said. That's enough to say. Why? We got a real blessing there. More blessings than most folks would get in church this morning. And not here. But anyway, why? Because there's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that there is a name I love. You see, that's it. Oh, ha da da dum da. Mm-hmm. And it was on the... I didn't know what I was humming. I had no idea. I just humming. You say, why? Because it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Dr. Evans told me, Jack Patterson and his group were, college group were traveling around the country singing. They were in a restaurant, right? Restaurant. And so they have a little chorus that they sing at the college before they eat. How's it go, girls? How's it go? You know it?
What is it, Doc?
Brother Roth taught them, and they sing it while they eat. So they sat down to the table and in a nice restaurant. And so when the girl said, let's sing the song before we eat. And Jack Patterson said, here? You know Jack, always ashamed of the Lord. And he said, Jack said, here? And the girl said, sure, let's sing it here. And so they sang that faithful sing and worthy of all acceptation, that song that's on in the subconscious. And they sang it. When they got through, a lady about 35 years old, dressed in beautiful clothes, walked over, and she said, girls, thank you. She said, I used to be in Bible college. But she said, I'm not living for God now. She pulled her skirt quickly and ran out weeping. Who knows what's going to happen to that girl? I was sitting on the airplane the other day, flying out west, and I was humming a song, and I forgot what it was. Maybe another one. And the fellow beside me looked like he never would think of God, had diamonds on, and he had diamond studs on his tie, and obviously a very wealthy man. And as I was humming the song, I don't know what it was. Was it, da, 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 da. I don't know. Was it, da, 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 or was it, da, 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 or I don't know what they were, but I hummed a few of them. I didn't know I was humming. And the man looked over to me with tears in his eyes, and he said, those are the songs my mother used to sing. And I said, did you have a Christian mother? Oh, he said, she used to sing those songs, just knowing you're humming. And I said, do you have the faith your mother used to have? And he began to cry, and he said, no, I don't. And I said, let me tell you what it is. And I won that wealthy man to Jesus on the airplane. Why? Because it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And I'm saying, that's it. That's it. And we ought to have it. The Word of God and the things of God. Away with the... I tell you why you don't. You're listening too much to the wrong kind of music. You're watching the wrong kind of programs on television. And you're running with the wrong crowd. The honest truth is... Brother Howard, you say, I'm ashamed to tell folks I'm a Christian. If you hang around the right music, and the right people, and the right preaching, you won't even know you're telling it. I've told you several times. That day I was down in Knoxville, Tennessee, and got on the airplane, and I was humming the song, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful love in the Bible I see, and this is the reason that Jesus loves me. Da, 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 da. And I was humming, and the stewardess walked by, and she said, what kind of music is that? Oh, she said, you seem happy. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm very happy. She said, what kind of music is that? I said, it's rock music. I don't know why I said it. And she said, sing me some. And I said, Rock of Ages, cliff for me. She said, is it rock and roll? Yep, sing me some of it. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And she, I told her about Jesus. She stood right in the aisle of that airplane. Dozens of folks watching her. She wasn't ashamed. Tears rolling down her cheeks. She came to Christ and she said to me, after I serve lunch, would you teach me some more about the Bible? And she came and sat across the aisle and I told her more about the Bible. Why? Because it's in the subconscious mind. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Oh, you fellows out in the Navy, when you have this, you're praying, they're singing, da, 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 da. You ought to be singing, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus always saves, when you trust Him and trust Him for good. That's what you ought to be doing. Not maybe those words, not exactly what you ought to be saying, but in the subconscious, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. There was excitement one day on the streets of London. Unbelievable excitement. The butcher put down his cleaver. The architect put down his rule. The scribe put down his pen. The carpenter put down his hammer. The mason put down his trowel. London was excited for one reason. A man named Hugh Latimer. Hugh Latimer was coming to preach in London. Hugh Latimer, they called him the honestest, the honestest man in London. He was a simple preacher. He preached with tears. He used homespun illustrations. And they came to hear him with the thousands. And they cheered him and believed what he said. And his text was, they preached on like R.G. Lee and Payday Sunday, like George Whitfield, and you must be born again, like Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. He had one text he used over and over and over again. Christ, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He preached that in the big cathedral. He preached it under tents. He preached it on street corners. He preached it at noontime in factories. And the whole area was excited as Hugh Latimer preached that amazing message over and over again. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Several years later, there was excitement in the streets of Oxford. The same man was coming to town, but he wasn't coming to preach or be cheered. He was coming to be executed, to be killed for his testimony in what they called heresy. A man named Bishop Ridley came with him, and Bishop Ridley and Hugh Latimer came, and he was quoting the scripture, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And finally, they took, just before they took their lives, they asked Hugh Latimer if he'd like to say anything. And Hugh Latimer said, "We shall this day, my Lord, light such a candle in England as shall never be extinguished." And then as he died, he said, "Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know why that scripture meant so much to him? Years before, he was a priest. Years before, a fellow whose name was Thomas Bilney. They had a nickname. I've forgotten what they called him. Thomas Bilney. Maybe it's Little Bilney. I'm not sure. Anyway, he was hungry for God. He hungered for God. And one day he came across that scripture. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And so he heard about Father Latimer, Hugh Latimer. And he went to Hugh Latimer and he said, "I'm hungry for God. I've been searching for God." And he said, I don't know how to be saved. But he said, as I was thumbing through the Bible, I came across this scripture. That this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said, "Look at it and tell me what it means." Father Latimer had never even heard of it. He had never read it. And so Mr. Bilney fell down on his knees and said, "Tell me what it means. I want to be saved. I'm hungry for God." And Father Hugh Latimer saw that scripture and he said, "I've been hungry too." And the priest fell beside the penitent sinner. And both became penitent sinners. And the priest cried for mercy and claimed, "Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners." You'll never hear better news than that. Spread the tidings all around. Get on the housetops and tell it and sing it when you sing and preach it when you preach and tell your family about it and tell your next door neighbors about it and tell the folks that travel with you about it and tell your beautician about it and tell your barber about it. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Ought to be a slogan, a motto. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. If you'd seen a couple of Jews pass each other, Jewish Christians, New Testament church, pass each other on the street, you'd have heard them say, "Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners." You'd have seen them in the marketplace, they'd have said, "Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners." You'd have seen them on the playground, "Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners." You'd see them meet downtown, "Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He came to save sinners. And Hugh Latimer came to Christ. And as he was dying, he said these words, "All my theology is reduced now to this narrow compass. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners." Look at it. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. This is no human. This is no fleshly mortal. This is no one whose lips speak evil. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. The perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the way, the truth, the life, the door, the vine. This is the bread of life and the living water. This is the one who came. Perfect, sinless, eternal, pre-existent, God of gods and King of kings. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That's why you can put your whole weight on it. Yeah. Yeah, if the Pope comes to save sinners, he may get shot and be in the hospital for several weeks. Jesus came to save sinners. He got crucified and got up after 3 nights. Yeah. You can put your weight on that. Yeah. Yeah, put your weight on that. Somebody said, "Brother House, what's wrong with confessing your sin to the priest?" There's nothing wrong with it if he confesses his to you and you get through confessing yours to him. The Bible said, "Confess your faults one to another." And so, you confess yours to him, cost you $5, then you charge him the same $5, listen to his. Is there you saying a priest's a sinner? Nope, God said he's a sinner. Huh? Are you daring to cast reflection on the infallibility of the Pope? Nope, God cast reflection on the infallibility of the Pope.
Christ Jesus came. Church is here, but church is not perfect. And the preacher is here, but the preacher is not perfect. And the teachers are here, but they're not perfect. But Christ Jesus came to the world. I'm glad he came. I love that story that you heard me tell. Little girl was in the hospital, very sick. Old crabby nurse came by her one day, and she was crabby, and the little girl said, "Good morning, nurse." Sick little girl, "Nurse, good morning. How are you, nurse?" Sort of like you do before you drink your coffee in the morning. And after about a half a day of the nurse being crabby, the little girl looked up at her and said, "Nurse, did you hear the good news?" "No, no, what good news?" She said, "Did you hear the good news?" "No, what good news?" She said, "Did you hear the good news? Jesus got born." "Did you hear the good news? Jesus got born." "Did you hear the good news? Jesus got born. Did you hear the good news? He came to earth in the form of man. Did you hear the good news? He lived a perfect life beyond sin and proved he was the Son of God. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He blessed the children. He stilled the storm. He calmed the wave. He fed the hungry and clothed the naked. And did you hear the good news? He went to Calvary and bore your sins and put your own sins on his record. Did you hear the good news? He dipped his own soul into hell and paid the penalty for your sin. Hey, did you hear the good news? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Did you hear the good news? Christ Jesus was buried, and after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the grave, triumphant over death and hell and the grave and Satan. Did you hear the good news? He ascended back to the Father. And he's sitting on the right hand of God this morning, interceding for sinners like you and me. Did you hear the good news? One of these days, the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive at the coming of the Lord should be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And once in a while, I read the newspaper. One of these nuts says, "Hey, are you listening to me?" One of these nuts says, "Jesus coming on September 13th. And he sells all he's got, puts on a bathrobe, goes up on top of a mountain, all his folks with him. He says, 'Brother House, what do you think?' I always say, "I hope he's right. Hope he's right." And to be quite frank with you, I'm always disappointed when the day ends. Did you hear the good news? Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Did you hear the good news? He's going to take us to heaven. We're going to be at the marriage of the Lamb, and we're going to be with him for 7 years. Did you hear the good news? He's going to give us crowns for rewards for our service for him and our suffering and our faithfulness and our soul winning. Did you hear the good news? We're going to take those crowns off our heads and hurl them at his feet and say, "No, we didn't do it in our own strength. Thou alone art worthy to receive glory and honor." And we're going to go horseback riding. And valley on the mountain? Nope, it'll be in the air. And we're going to come back to the earth. Did you hear the good news? Jesus is going to ascend the royal stairway of Mount Zion, and he's going to become king of all the earth. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that at the end of that kingdom, he's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father? Did you hear the good news? There's going to come down from God out of heaven a city prepared for us, a city whose builder and ruler is God, a city with gates of pearl and streets of gold, where no back shall droop and no brow shall wrinkle and no face shall furrow. And that no hand shall palsy, and no lip, no feet shall stumble, and no leg shall tremble, and nobody will ever have sin, and nobody will ever drink any liquor, and won't be in Playboy magazines, and there won't be any cursing and no profanity. And did you hear the good news? I'll tell you what the good news is. Christ Jesus came to the world. By the way, look at it again, to save sinners. Aren't you glad he said that? Aren't you glad he said that? You say, "I'm not so bad." Sorry about that. Then you can't get saved. You can't get saved if you get so bad. "Oh, I'm a good man." When you get bad, come to us. You can get saved and go to heaven. The truth is, he came to save sinners. And Paul said, and I love this. I ain't got to know why Paul said it. He said, "Of whom I am chief." He was trying to be sure he got in. He said, "Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Oh, by the way, Lord, whom I am chief." He wanted to be sure he wasn't even near the edge. He said, "Of whom I'm chief." Look at me this morning. I've been pastoring, 34 years this coming October. I've read this book. You come to my office sometime, look at all the Bibles I've worn out.
I read this book. And I've tried to live for God. I really have. I love Him. And I want to live for Him. But I guess all I can say is, you're looking at a sinner. Yeah. He came to save sinners. This is a faithful saying. You can put your whole weight down on it. Worthy. You can build your foundation on it. You can throw your anchor out. It'll hold firm. My anchor holds it, firmly holds. And worthy of all acceptation. Anybody can come and accept it. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's the best news you will ever hear. Our Heavenly Father,